Radio.
You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio at RadioAryan.com. Today's date is the 8th of January 2016. It's the first Truth Without Radio of the new year. I'm Sven Longshanks, and as always, I'm joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, and Communism by the Back Door, Mr. Dennis Wise. How are you doing today at the end of the first week of 2016, Dennis?
My, doesn't it fly? 8th of January already. I can remember picking myself off the floor on the 1st. Good to be here.
Yeah. Well, how has your week been? Part 13, I've seen, has just been brought out of Communism by the Back Door. It's been embedded at the RadioAryan.com site, and we'll also put a link to it in the article that accompanies this. And this is mainly what we're going to be discussing today. Do you want to give the listeners a brief description of this chapter, Dennis, and some of the, because you've encountered some problems, I think, with it as well, if you want to let them know what they have been.
And surprising problems as well. I mean, the extremism of it, people saying what they're saying, really surprised me. But yeah, basically what it is, for those people who don't know, it's the opening 5 or 6 minutes shows exactly what's happening in Europe, not only to the countries what lost World War II, but to countries what won World War II, which is, a point I was trying to make, that this influx of migrations, which was, I believe, 1 million in Germany alone this year, topped up by another 40,000 in December, and they're expecting even more next year, just if the world stays with the conflicts as it is. So it's a huge problem. And I try to emphasize the point in the first 6 or 7 minutes to show just exactly that, whoever thinks they won the war didn't win the war. And then at one point I have another video showing the celebrations, on V-Day, outside Buckingham Palace. And on the opposite side of the screen, we have 2015 Britain. So you can compare the two even more. And it's just a simple way of showing things to people who need a little bit more persuasion sometimes. But what happened was, people who I regard as being on our side of the fence, attacked me for being, Islamophobic, because, what it says in the video is, for instance, on Oslo, the police issued a statement saying that 100% of the rapes in Oslo at this particular time was all Muslim. And there was a couple of other things as well, in Germany. And all of a sudden, these people turned around and said, I was picking on the Muslims. And one particular channel, which is well known in our quarters, actually said that I was lapping up to the Zionists, which leaves me speechless. In fact, if it didn't leave me speechless, I'd be saying other words, which was totally wrong. I mean, let's face it, at the end of the day, there's certain Muslims, like the Palestinians, who have this grievance against Israel and Iran. And Iran have this, goes back a while with Germany as well. They don't look to be mixing in Europe. But there are some Muslims quite happy to come into Europe and try and create a Sharia law, and an Islamic, turn an Islamic country from a Christian country. So people have to realize this, but the flat that I was getting, it was just like, they're just not understanding this point. So the bottom line was, and I just said this goes out to every National Socialist lover out there, is that Adolf Hitler would not have put 1 million Muslims in Europe, even though they fought alongside the Germans. There's no way on earth he would have put 1 million Muslims in. So if he says it's wrong, it's wrong.
There's no way you can even compare the two. A small Muslim regiment fighting on the side of Germany against communists. They weren't actually in Germany, they were fighting against communists. How can you compare that to 1 million Muslims invading Germany? And how can they criticise this part of the video in the same week that we've had 1,000 Muslims go on a sexual molestation rampage around Cologne and also in Berlin and other German cities, where they just basically molested all the women. Two rapes went on. They're stealing phones, attacking them, tearing their dresses off. It's horrific what has gone on in Cologne. And that's what these Muslims have been doing. So how can they criticize you for pointing out the fact that Germany and Britain and the rest of Europe are being invaded by these monsters? Well, I really don't get that.
Well, apparently what they were saying was these news releases by the Norwegian police and Sweden, for instance. This is another prime example as well. The rapes in Sweden, it's now the rape capital of Europe officially, but you know, it's only me saying, lapping up to the Zionists saying that. But how can it be that only Denmark and Sweden have closed the borders this week? And Sweden never closes its borders. That's a more open country to letting Muslims than even Germany. So there's got to be a problem when they're closing the borders. But, you know, besides that, when I say, look, you know, 16 years of grooming covered up in the UK, are you telling me that's, you know, a Zionist thing? What do? They cover it up. They don't announce it. But, you know, there was no getting through to some people. In fact, I had to ban a couple from the channel. I don't like banning people, but I do ban idiots.
I think maybe some of this comes from people being anti-Israel, anti-Zionism, and therefore supporting the Palestinians and thinking that Islam has been given a bad rap because of that. That may have been the case 10, 15 years ago. But since then, there's been a mass invasion by these people, and they are the bottom of the barrel, really. They're not the people that want to stay in their own countries. They're the people that leave their own countries because they're wanted by the police in their own countries. They're criminals. They're not wanted there. That's why they come to Europe. Not because they want to help us.
To me, do you honestly believe that they would want to leave the paradise and come to Europe? That's the mentality I was dealing with.
Well, yeah, you've got, basically, they haven't got any money there. And they want to come here to take the money. But I was over there.
They want a better life, don't they? You know what I mean? I mean, so that's why they were all shouting on to Germany at the borders of Hungary, because Merkel's, you know, letting them in. They're the powerhouse of financial powerhouse of Europe. So they all want to go to Germany. And that, you know, there's nothing wrong in wanting to go to Germany. The fact is, what is wrong is they did get to Germany, and there Merkel's apologising for the. Well, it's trying to cover up the New Year's Eve thing in Cologne, but obviously it's come out now. And I didn't answer that back, you know, to the people, because I don't like to be arguing with people on the same side as what I class same side as our fence, because that just gives more ammunition to the Jews. Then the fight is big enough fighting them without fighting your own people, and to me it was just crazy. But you know. Some people have their opinions. Wrong though it be. Because what need to be goes fighting. Into Europe can come out of Europe.
Yeah, well, it'd be quite easy to remove them. You just got to offer them incentives to go. I think they're just going to keep pushing things now. I mean, last month they killed 120 people at the in Paris at that concert. This month, 1,000 of them have, I think there is about 100 people made complaints, 100 women. So there's got to be, you know, 10 times that amount that were actually attacked that didn't bother going to the police. So 1,000 of them have sexually assaulted white women this month. So what's going to happen next month? No, there's been nobody, no charges brought against anyone yet. They were tearing up their papers in front of the police, saying, here's my residency permit, tearing it up, you don't know who I am. There were ones taunting and mocking the police, saying, you can't touch us, Mama Merkel invited us, you've been told, you've got to respect us. And they did exactly. All of this in front of a cathedral. And there are video recordings of this where they're shooting starting pistols, and they're shooting flares and shooting fireworks at the police, at the people that had gone out for the evening. There's another video of someone saying that until that night, he thought that all this far-right propaganda was just far-right propaganda. It was all just make-believe.
You're just lapping up to the Zionists.
Yeah, I'm just working for the Jews by telling the truth. Yeah, yeah. It is. It's nonsense to say that's working for the Jews. It's these people that are working for the Jews because they serve
people.
Yeah, well, that's just ridiculous. But you know, the ulterior motive of the Jew all the time is to replace the white race. They hate the purity.
It's just divide and conquer, and they're doing a good job of it.
Another part of the video.
Can't repeat on my side of the fence.
Yeah, well, you know, they are the ones that are at the root causes of this. They're the ones calling for more and more immigration. And this was the first part of your video showing this and the way that we are being abused by these newcomers. There's shots there of the young German kids that are getting beaten up by these young Arabs. And it reminded me of the way the Germans were treated after the war, the way that their women were beaten up and knocked about that you show in your documentary series. And then when it goes to VE Day, and it shows you VE Day, and you've got all these white faces in London celebrating that they've won, and then just 70 years later, and London is only 40% held by the British. 60% of it is an occupying foreign force. And the occupying foreign force are controlling our media, they've got hold of our governments, they've got hold of our education, and our people are just blinded to this, of what's going on. As we're being replaced,
people shouldn't be blinded. This is the argument. I'm not talking to somebody who's mainstream and hasn't got a clue about what went on in World War II. I'm talking to people like who are supposed to know exactly what went on in World War II. And when I'm saying to them, well, what about the grooming in the UK? You know, oh, well, they weren't really Muslims. Well, how can you argue with people who got jailed were all Pakistani?
Well, this is just, they should know better. They've woken up to things through your documentary. You would think they would realise this, what's going on. We've got somebody in the chat room that's saying this is effectively the end of the Schengen Agreement. And that's what it meant, the closing of the friendship bridge between Denmark and Sweden. Because that was seen as a big symbol of free movement between Europe. You've got people that work on either side of it that now have to show their passports just to get back home. At the end of work, this is sort of problems that it's causing, and this is all down to Merkel.
Well, it is, because that meeting in Malta the other 3 or 4 weeks ago, the outcome of that meeting was, oh yeah, there's got to be certain things done, you know, to try and stem this and try and stem that. But the overall picture was Europe will remain an open society for Africans. It isn't going to stop with any meetings or anything. This is how it's going to be for all time. And there's 6,000 a day piling in. So for these people to turn around and call me racist or call me lapping up to the Zionists, you know, they want to start living in the real world. They really do.
Well, they do. It's a replacement agenda. This is what's happening. We're being replaced. It's now become not just the odd crime where the odd white woman is raped or the odd white man is murdered, but mass murder last month and mass sexual assaults this month. And it can only get worse. We are going to be pushed to civil war. I think we're going to see civil war on the streets of Germany by the end of this year.
Well, they're using that excuse saying that I was fanning them flames by saying that, you know, Oslo was, these rapists were all by Muslims. I mean, the official police report and the news announcements all coincided to say that these rapes were all done by Muslims. And for someone to turn around and say, that's a Zionist agenda just to get people to start fighting each other. Well, what can you believe if that's true? But I mean, the point is, there shouldn't be a million Muslims in Europe anyway. It shouldn't happen. Hitler would not have allowed it.
Oh, no way.
There's two things he wouldn't do today. One, he's not allow a million Muslims into Europe, and two, invade Russia, because he's no need.
Well, I think he wrote about the Negroes in the Rhine and the French bringing in the Negroes to the Rhine and how they were a different race and they had no business being in Europe. So this was what Hitler thought of the other races. They had no business being in Europe. Some people get confused because back then, when you talked about race, it didn't mean the same as race today. You had the English race, the Welsh race, the Irish race, the Scottish race. You had different races in Germany. And what it meant was more or less what we call nations today. But the word was a different way around. So when Hitler was writing about Germany having different races in it, he certainly didn't mean that there were Negroes and Chinamen there. He meant that there were different types of German there, different types of white German. So some people get confused with that. And they think that, the Germans were some type of mongrel population because there were different races there. But that's all that he meant. He had Austrians, Bavarians, Prussians.
To be honest, the German language is a difficult language because there's some words don't even exist what exists in the English language. So it was quite easy. I can remember watching documentaries when I was a kid, watching Hitler speak, and there was never any translation. So the guy would automatically say, "And this madman in Germany," because Hitler was so passionate when he spoke, but you couldn't tell what he was saying. It fell right into their propaganda. I mean, I even saw a YouTube video the other day where it had Hitler talking. Now, I know that speech very well. It's the Chancellor's speech, his first speech after he got the election. And the guy was, it was unbelievable what the guy was saying. You know, Hitler wasn't saying anything like it. So, you know, they used that for the cause. Thankfully, the internet these days, you know, a lot of the speeches that Hitler gave are now translated as well. But it is a problem, that, because most people in Britain just saw a raving madman giving some kind of a shouting speech in Munich.
It's a real eye-opener looking at those translations of the speeches as well. You know, if only some of the conspiracy crowd could look at those speeches, you know, they would have a different opinion entirely of the man, because he's talking about all the things that we're talking about today. Get rid of the banks. Yeah. Look at the way they're persecuting the working man. Nobody's got any jobs, not looking after. Back then, it was people that had been maimed in the war, but it's saying today they're not looking after the disabled. National Socialist Germany was the first country to introduce a proper welfare system. And it was after that it forced the other countries to do the same. They were the first ones to do that, to look after their people.
Way ahead of time.
If only people could understand that, then, we would have more people on our side. But I'm very surprised to hear that people that have woken up to this are then claiming that you're helping the Jews with this, because this has been covered up. not until today.
I mean, called the Jew many times. You know, look at the surname and they say Jew. But, you know, this goes to another level when I'm lapping up to them.
Well, this week, it's only been today, which is Friday, that the BBC has finally announced that there were some refugees among some of the suspects in the Cologne attacks. A week later. Up until now, it's been 1,000 quote-unquote men. And they've just been trying to make out that it is men that did this. They've even interviewed women that have said, the German women as well, that have said, oh yes, well, Catholics rape and Christians rape and Buddhists rape as well. All these men rape. I thought, yeah, well, no Catholics, Christians or Buddhists get together in a crowd of 1,000 of them and attempt to mass rape the entire population of a city.
Give more lapping up to them Zionists, will you?
Lapping up to the Zionists. Up to them with covering up Rotherham? Was that lapping up to the Zionists?
Listen, when you get people, we were talking about this before we come on air, when you get people like Murdoch with so much money and so much influence, you've got the Rothschilds only routers, which all news agencies all go through and then are filtered and it comes out the other side and then goes across Europe and the world. When you've got certain individuals or families rich enough to actually commit the world to certain things that you just don't want to, the roads you don't want to go to because of this power, there's something wrong. Something has to change, because for a person like Murdoch to own worldwide Skype Sky and Fox News, and then the newspapers, you know, the Sun, News of the World's now banned, but I mean, he just put another paper there in its place. But, you know, and the influence, it really shouldn't be, you know, possible. Somewhere along the lines, there has to be a cap on people with unhonorable intentions, should I say.
Well, they try and say, oh, well, you've got these different news channels, we've got these various different ones. But Reuters and Associated Press, but they're both linked to an overriding company that's owned by Rothschilds. So, and you've got one of them, one of their main buildings is next door to MI6, I think it is, the intelligence agency in Britain. And that's been since the start of these news agencies. So they were taken over by the Rothschilds and were basically the building next door to the intelligence agencies. So before these independent companies, independent newspapers, before they even get their news, what they're being sent, which is supposedly eyewitness reports, eyewitness films, it's already been edited to give it a certain bias before it gets to the stations to give it their own bias.
You know.
Well, yeah, everything's got to promote Israel. Everything's got to cover up all the crimes of the invasion force. This is the
they even show rockets landing on Palestinians and say it's the Palestinian rockets landing in Israel.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me either. That really wouldn't surprise me either. I mean, the way that the media has taken has been hijacked, really, and is actually promoting the opposite of what the truth is of what's happening is shocking, really, and it's happening all over the white world. But I think, you know, more people are waking up to this because they were forced by this being revealed on the social media. They were forced to actually admit that, yes, it was non-whites that were doing this. If it hadn't been for the social media, they would probably still be covering it up now. And one positive thing I have noticed is that RT has been covering it fairly well. Right from the start of the week, they said that it was Arabs and North Africans, and they were interviewing people in Cologne, saying they were, this is it. I mean, interspersed with all the reports is
again gender
anti-Turkey stuff.
Says, this part 13 also shows how Britain is actually communist. I know people, you know, a lot of people will think I'm crazy and having a good laugh, but it explains how they became communist, just like part 14 will prove how America became communist, which I'm hoping to put out later tonight on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah, well, I noticed that. I thought that was really well, the way that you summed it up, exactly how they've done it with the EU. I mean, I've noted it down here. You know, there's three ways that the EU basically implemented communism across Europe. Overtly, through treaties, laws, and destructive regulations, which is what we see, the Schengen Treaty, the way that the Human Rights Act, which gives minorities rights over and above the majority, empowering them.
Rules made by people in Belgium, you know, where they've no idea about the culture of Britain.
Destructive regulations, which are basically doing away with all the small independent businesses and ensuring that you only get huge monopolies because the small independent businesses can't possibly comply with all these regulations that they have to. So you just end up with big monopolized businesses running everything with a fixed price. You end up having to make things equal so that everything has to be sold throughout the world rather than just being sold to your own people. So our power companies, our energy companies and our water are all owned by people in Japan and India and all over the place. And they can charge whatever price they like for things that we need, like heat. We need heat and we need water to live. They're living requirements. You could say that electricity is pretty much a requirement to live, and the internet nowadays. And yet all of them we're charged a fortune to pay for. We need these things to live.
What water? Who owns water? When I was born, that was a God-given right, water. Why I get a bill every 3 months, God knows.
Well, we're not just expected to pay for our own water. We're expected to pay for all the water in Africa as well. That's what all these adverts are for.
I'm sure a pipe can't cost as much as an ad pay over the years, and all that much.
Pay for the water for the Africans. Can't we teach them to dig a well? How many times do they have to be taught how to dig a well? It doesn't matter. They're still going to be asking for more water for the starving Africans, the thirsty Africans that haven't got their own water, can't possibly work out how to dig a well for themselves. There's one thing that really does get me is all these adverts on the television asking us to do more for Africans, you know, children in need.
Well, them adverts.
What about the children in need here?
Adverts. I'm glad you touched on that, because there's something wrong with them adverts. I'll tell you why. Because somebody somewhere is making a fortune, because I'll switch it on one day, and as you say, give £3 a month for this water in Africa. I'll switch it on another day, give £3 for this puppy in Mongolia somewhere. And it's like, somebody somewhere is clearing up. I'm telling you, one day that news will break, because for one, charities, they have a, you know, the taxation on them is very minute. And it's as if they've found a loophole somewhere for people to send this cash, you know, get a sponsor, somebody in this country or whatever, for £3 a month. I will send you, you know, a nice little, thing every now and again, like to tell you how they're getting on. And it's a scam. I'm convinced it's a scam.
And look at this.
Well, we're going off subject here.
Well, I was going to say, look.
The second one, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, they've got this children in need bit. Well, what about our own children? What about the children at the beginning of your video, the German children that are being beaten up there? And you've got these foreigners that are saying, well, all these Germans, they don't join in. They're on the outside. We beat them up. They can't defend themselves. We're going to outbreed them. You've got the young white boys are the most neglected portion of the country in Britain. They're the ones that are the most neglected. All these programs are there to help the foreigners and nothing there to help the kids of the people who built the country.
Do you know what children need? Do you know what I see when I see Pudsey? An Illuminati one-eyed bear. He's got a patch over his eye, hasn't he?
Well, I think it just shows you know, you got a damaged kid there that wants to damage his teddy bear and gouge its eye out.
I've never seen a one-eyed teddy bear before, so I saw that.
No. Well, yeah, you have got the Illuminati imagery there with that, definitely. Now, I can't stand all that red nose nonsense. But yeah, the second one in the list, yep. Covertly, subversion of institutions, subversion of bureaucracies, the press, that's media, true. And identity.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it's Soviet Union was a huge landmass with no borders. You know, there's one mass of mixed races, you know, the Ukrainians and you know, a host of other, all living in this satanical world. And the EU over the years has just, it's just turned into the Soviet Union. It's like, is it 28 countries now I say the populations have been conned into doing it, because the amount of propaganda, what they fed into these countries, which was fed into Britain especially, to say how wonderful the EU, we'd be able to do this, we'd be able to do that, much more easier, etc. And it was just propaganda for the rest of these 28 nations just to give up the sovereignty, just hand it all over and to people who have an agenda anyway. So I think it explains perfectly how these communists who won World War II in 12 years managed to get the EU up and running and then take over the countries like Britain as well. I mean, people say that, you know, we're going to pull out to EU. I don't think we're ever going to pull out to EU. Fact.
I think we might get enough people that vote to say that we don't want to be in it. But the way they did it...
Yeah, we've talked about that before. They've been fixing the voting. They did the Scottish Nationalist thing where they were putting all the yeses in one box and half the noes in. So, you know, it's like we said about Stalin. You know, it's not how many votes, it's who counts them.
Well, the thing is, what they did, they by taking over the institutions and the press and the media, what they were able to do is continually promote the idea of this union between the states. And by doing that at the same time, promote the idea of us losing our identity and being European and losing our national identity and saying that we're all humans. We're all the human race. What does it matter if we're replacing you with non-whites? They're the new Scots. They're the new Swedes. Now, this is the way that they did it. It's a way of chipping away at our identity through doing this, just so that it's easier for people to take over.
They couldn't see what was happening around them. We're going to put the video up. But anyways, people. But yeah, the third one, disinformation.
Disinformation. We've got millions spent annually since 1970 to deceive the population about the real motive of the EU. And it is literally millions that has been spent. And it goes right the way through all of these institutions. And I've just remembered what it was I was going to say about that second one covertly. One of the objectives that all public bodies now have to have is to combat racism. All public bodies. So
that,
yeah, that means that they have to promote non-whites' interests over the interests of whites. All public bodies have to do this. So they can't speak the truth about these crimes that the non-whites are doing, because that's not promoting community cohesion between the invaders and the invaded. So they're constantly bringing in diversity, which is division, and then putting all their resources into trying to pretend that this diversity doesn't exist, that this division doesn't actually exist between us, trying to artificially force us together to be one, while at the same time telling us that, you know, it's all diversity. This, isn't it great, this diversity? Yeah, if you point out the differences, you get squashed. It's totally disconnect between everything that they do, which just leaves people feeling neurotic, I think, because they're trying to think of doing two different things at one time. They're being taught two things that conflict, two ideas that conflict.
The biggest scam on the British nation was Margaret Thatcher. Because she's the one who signed that Single European Act in 1987, and it says consented to be part of a single European dictatorship. This is Margaret Thatcher. And now, you know, we've got people like Cameron and Osborne who are Trotskyites. Now, people may have started laughing at the start of this conversation, but now you're beginning to see just how they've done it. They've done it so covertly, you know, so stealth-like, you know. Who would believe that the Tories are, as I said, are the primary instrument of Marxists in the EU? And it's a fact. And Peter Hutchins goes on to say in the next sequence. Hitchens, sorry.
Well, I was going to bring that up as well, Owen Jones and Peter Hitchens. But I'll just remind people, if anybody does want to call in, send a contact request or to send in a private message at Skype to radio.arian. If you just send me a message there and say you want to call in or what do you want to talk about, then we'll take your call if you've got anything that you'd like to say about this or about anything else that we've discussed today or even in the series, then you are welcome to call in. That's radio.arian.
For the Dennis, you're quite welcome.
Yeah, call in and speak to Dennis. Okay, well, the next bit, yeah, the next part of it, it was showing Peter Hitchens and Owen Jones. And I think that Owen Jones was the name of the chap that I couldn't remember the other day when we were making our podcast, because he comes up quite a lot. He's a bit of a shill for the so-called rebel forces in Syria. He's always attacking Bashar al-Assad, and he claims to be speaking for the working man and representing, you know, the poor people of Britain. But how can he be claiming to be representing the people of Britain if you're constantly calling for the interests of refugees and foreigners, which is mainly what he seems to be doing? I think he wrote a book talking about chavs, about the white working underclass, a dismissive book about them. And there he is interviewing Peter Hitchens, where Peter Hitchens is telling him, look, you know, these people that you think you're against, these Tories, they are Trotskyites. They are Trotskyites. And they're repeating the same things he did. He was a Trotskyite.
Exactly. They're saying exactly the same thing, which is, well, they would do because they're communists. That's what I keep telling people. And these people on YouTube, over in America, when they see these border controls and they go up on YouTube and say, oh, it's the Nazis. Well, hello, it isn't the Nazis. Trust me.
Well, this is the next bit that the video leads to after that, after identifying these so-called conservatives as Trotskyites, which you got into, I think, in the last video as well about this Trotskyite influence. It then goes to Obama and what's happening in America and how they basically instituted the same thing as the EU, but under this agreement called the NAFTA, the NAFTA. Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about this agreement, Dennis?
Yeah, well, apparently I think they're going to split up the world in 10 areas. But I mean, the point was, once they did it with the EU. This is a worldwide, you know, they're trying to be a worldwide government. So it didn't take that much of a genius to work out this must have gone on in other places as well. And the first port of call I called that was America. And then I looked into it and I saw that as soon as I see Clinton, all alarm bells start ringing because he were at Oxford studying for the scholarship over there for the Rothschilds. So as soon as I saw Clinton were involved, hello, and he signed the NAFTA agreement, which is the first, you can class this as the first stepping stone of joining that continent, just like Europe. And that includes then Mexico, the US and Canada. And what that does is not only opens all borders, but it solves Mexican immigration at a stroke, because there is no immigration, because it's a continent for everybody. So they'll look a bit further into it. I find a guy talking about it and he goes on to show that that Canada can't even stop some of these companies going in and drilling for oil because their sovereignty is that weak. And this is 1993 when he signed this. So there would have been some other laws passed since then. To the ultimate aim of this one world government, they have to make all these continents as one. And people like Clinton, who should be swinging with his wife and Reagan and Bush and his father and Cheney and Rumsfeld from the nearest lamppost.
Maybe they should do like that, like they did with Oliver Cromwell as well. Hang jaw and quarter them and poke their insides out and stick their heads on a pole.
The world to warn of this again. Yeah,
post them out to the four corners of the world. Here are the traitors. Here are the ones that did this to us.
Throw Merkel in while we're at it.
Yeah, how could we forget Mama Merkel? Yeah, well, this is the thing, Dennis, isn't it? It starts with trade agreements. It always starts with a trade agreement, and then it goes on from there.
Oh, it's definitely humanitarian things as well. You know what I mean? It's in the agenda. It's like this. I mean, you know, all I saw on Sky, thanks to Murdoch, were dead babies on beaches. I never saw, you know, I had to go on YouTube to see all these Muslims and Africans attacking Hungarian police and causing mayhem in cafes in Italy and what have you. You know, this is the problem. It's not as much what we're shown, it's what we're not shown.
Well, this is it. They don't show you any of the victims of the Muslims or the invasion force. All they show you is if anything harmful happens to the people invading us. And this is what has caused people to be so shocked in this country. The people that I come across, they just can't believe that the way that the news is portraying things, how it doesn't tell us any of the victims of the people coming in. It just tells us about what's happening to the people invading us. It just doesn't add up. The only way it adds up is if our governments have been occupied by a foreign force, which is exactly what has happened.
Exactly what's going to happen, yeah. I mean, especially in America. I mean, you know, I've been saying for a long time now that these politicians, you know, these people in Hollywood, they're all actors. They are actors. And if there were more, no plain, clear view of acting, it's them crocodile tears of Obama's. Because if he's crying for any reason, he's crying because he admitted himself it's not going to be done overnight, you know, the abolition of guns in America. But what he did do, he laid down again this means, because the actual thing what he said, there was one line in his speech what stood out, and that was to bring up an outdated background check system into the 21st century. And what that can actually mean is that future presidents now have a means of making more stringent background checks, which then will eventually, if this is followed through, will eventually nullify the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment will be there, but it'll mean nothing because people can't get guns.
So they can gradually add to the legislation once it's actually being put in place.
Future presidents, he can't do it. He knows that. He admitted that. He actually said, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. But then he rhymed a couple of other things what did change overnight, you know, like feminism and all this kind of carry on. And what didn't really, you know, it took time. So he used that as an example. And that one line in that speech said it all. We are going to bring an outdated background check system into the 21st century.
Well, whenever they modernise anything, you know that that's just going to be making things worse for us. Everything they do makes things worse for us. You know, this whole idea of progressing and changing, you know, why have we got to constantly change all the time?
Yeah, if it's right, why fix it? But no.
You would think, you know, they would have originally had it right at least once in all these years. And they clearly haven't. because they've constantly got to change things. They've constantly got to talk about progress as if this somehow progress to replace all our people with foreigners. Yeah.
If you're still wearing the same trousers you were in the 70s, you're out of date. You know what I mean? I can understand that to a point. But I mean, like, if they fit and they look all right, what's the problem?
Well, let's get back to this NAFTA agreement then, Dennis. You were saying that now that this has opened up the Canada and South America to free trade, then that means you're going to end up with the free borders. And this is exactly what happened with the EU. That was set up as a trade agreement. It was supposed to just just facilitate trade. And in doing that, sovereignty was handed over. Yeah, sovereignty was handed over to these unelected bureaucrats who were then able to make the laws. Now, with this NAFTA trade agreement, do you think it would be the UN that are then dictating the laws that America are going to have to go along with?
We know about the UN. Even Bush went through the UN to go into Iraq. You know, the UN is the police force or the armies of this one world government, which is actually. Is more or less fixed into place now because people have got to remember, if they can just understand, after World War II, all the leaders of all the countries in Europe were all replaced, and they were replaced by mainly communists, you know, the odd socialist, which is a communist anyway. And all these people took over all these governments in Europe. So now you've got everybody now pulling in the same direction. They've all demonize Hitler, you demonize the Nazis, and we do a covert operation called communism. And so the UN, you look into their charter, and that charter is the Communist Manifesto. All right, so you've got all the presidents of the United States taught highly of the United Nations. And in fact, they may even have to bring the United Nations in to get the guns off people because the people, the sheriffs and people like that who do believe in the Second Amendment won't do it, or a lot won't do it and will be against it. So they may even use them troops there. But certainly the UN is this kind of, again, humanitarian peace force. But really, you know, that covertly, it's the army of the New World Order. And it's that simple.
And it's run by Jews.
Sorry, yeah, go on.
I was going to say, and it's run by Jews. I mean, this was their plan all along with the United Nations. Yeah, before that, they had the League of Nations. And the idea was to get the people arguing amongst themselves and have crazy things like the people from China deciding on the tax rate in South America and people from France deciding on what the transportation system was going to be in, say, Brazil. So you've got all these different countries interfering with each other's business and covering up basically who's actually in charge, and who you've really got in charge is these bankers, these Jewish bankers behind it.
I was just going to say the one thing that I did leave out of that a little bit, what I just said, was after World War II, you know, all the banks then returned to all these countries like Austria, etc., who Germany had took over and it kicked out, and all the Rothschilds had fled Europe and the palaces. I mean, the old Versailles Palace and numerous others in Austria all over the place fled Europe, right, because of what was happening to them. And like I said, Hitler imprisoned two that I know of. And for all these people who says that Hitler was working for the Rothschilds, after World War II finished, they then felt Europe was now safe for them to return. They got all their palaces back. They got all the money back, which Hitler had taken from them, you know, with the Austrian bank, for instance. And so it all started again, so as if World War II never happened. And so this one world government, which was started, I know, thousands of years ago, but the thing was, it started around the Boer War time, you know, specifically. All that went back to, you know, how things should be. And here we are today, further down the line. And people for so long have thought the one world thing was some kind of conspiracy theory. And now everybody's talking about it. You know, Obama's giving speeches about one world. The guy who followed Blair from the Labour Party, he gave a speech, you know, saying, praising this imminent New World Order. Friend's name now, the Scottish guy. So yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's all this plan is all coming to fruition now. And people, there are some people who still cannot see the big picture. as I found out this week.
Well, World War II sort of put a check on its progress for a few years. It was stopped in Germany. National Socialism did put a stop on it, did put a check on it in Europe, and it slowed it down. And thanks to Hitler, it prevented Western Europe being taken over by communism. I mean, this is why Hitler gets called the man against time. He stood against the forces of time, against the forces of corruption, and stood against this world empire, this final world empire that they've been struggling to build, as you say, going all the way back to Babylon. They wanted this world empire, and they're now getting closer to achieving it. And they still haven't quite got it, though, because Putin is now standing up to them. You've got the country there, or the federation there, Russia, which has actually been under communism. So I don't think they foresaw that they were going to get somebody that would actually stand against them. So and again, also in Eastern Europe, you've got people that are standing against them. So you've still got these glimmers of hope. And I do see Donald Trump as a glimmer of hope as well. No matter what people say about some of the negative aspects about him, the positive aspects about him vastly outweigh those negative ones. And he's come about not through blogging, not through podcasts or dropping leaflets. He's just come about right out of the blue. He's come about because we're living such chaotic times that the chances of having an occurrence like that happen are vastly increased. So the more things get chaotic as they are now, the more chances there are that people are going to arise that we can rally behind, I think.
I'll tell you what. I'll have a bet now with you. Right. Fiver. Right. I'll bet you £5 now. Clinton wins. As much as what Bush says is true, and I'll tell you why she'll win, because she knows the Rothschilds.
Well, the other day I saw that in 60 days' time they're going to indict her. The FBI, I think, brought this out.
Well, they said that a few times. 6 months ago, for what she did, I mean, anybody, NSA, anybody, a janitor in NSA, had released information on their own computer, would have got 20 years 6 months ago. So we'll see, but I'm not convinced.
Well, maybe I'm a little bit optimistic. I'm not quite as jaded as you guys. I would like to see Donald Trump get in there, but if we do get Hillary, that's what everybody was expecting anyway, was Hillary. So we haven't lost anything.
I don't know why. That joke of an husband should have been kicked out after the Monica Lewinsky affair.
Also with this Hillary thing.
Rothschilds.
Well, just bring it up to Gaddafi and the war that they went on in Libya that Hillary was backing and was behind. They're releasing phone calls.
We saw he died.
Yeah, you know, it's horrific what they did to him. You know, when they got hold of him, they sodomized him, the same as they did to Mussolini. They did the same to Gaddafi, and then murdered him on television, on the news. Everybody saw this leader being murdered, like a snuff film. I mean, that was a bit of a turning point, that.
It's the Kennedy thing all over again.
Yeah.
You know, it's showing people at that level, you know, this is what happens to you when you go against this new world order. That's all it was.
Assassinated.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible. But at the end of the day, you know, when you really look into what he did for Libya, very similar to what Hitler did with Germany, and they don't like it. They don't like it.
Well, he was the greatest leader that Africa has ever produced, and he wanted all the blacks to return to Africa. And these recordings that they've just released, he said, we've got the equivalent of Al-Qaeda cells, the same as the cells that were in America before 9/11. We've got the same equivalent terrorist cells that are in Libya. They want to create war on the Mediterranean, and they want to flood Europe with refugees. They want to flood Europe with jihadis under the guise of refugees. And the only thing that is stopping the Mediterranean being filled with these creatures is me and my troops in Libya. And this is what he said in this phone call. Of course, the way they're now framing this is they're saying, but then he stopped communications with Blair, as if it was his fault that he got assassinated.
Well, I've lost count, right, of the handshakes that Gaddafi had on on the internet. I mean, 1 minute he's shaking hands with Obama, the next minute he's shaking hands with Blair, the next minute he's Sarkozy, you know, and they're all backstabbers. Exactly as you said, what happened to Mussolini? It was hideous. Absolutely hideous. But this is, I mean, even McCain. And by the way, I found out about McCain this week. I didn't realize this. He managed to make his money. He married a woman with 100 million who received the inheritance, would you believe? But I'm going off subject slightly. But he turned around to Putin and said, you will end up like Gaddafi, will, in the streets. Sodomized.
It's horrific the way that they behave. But this thing with Hillary, you can say that if it wasn't for that happening in Libya, then you wouldn't have had this ISIS group, because they then went on from Libya to Syria, all these jihadis, and a lot of them have been encouraged to go over to Libya by the British government, saying, oh, you've got to topple this dictator. And all the mosques are saying, yeah, go over to Libya, topple the dictator. They got rid of him, and then they were saying, go over to Syria, we'll pay you. They were offering money in the mosques in London to pay for people to go over to fight against Assad. And then you've got this ISIS group that are formed. So it all came down to the taking out of Gaddafi and the woman behind that, Hillary Clinton. So you can say that this threat that they're now facing, that we're all facing, is down to that action. And you've got this film of them going over there, David Cameron and Sarkozy, vive la democracy, vive liberty, Cameron saying how are we going to help the Libyans. The first thing that happened when they actually brought some Libyans over to Britain to train the army is they broke out of the barracks and went on a raping spree. Hey, this is what they do. They go on raping sprees. This is the top army people doing that from over there, let alone the refugee types.
I believe it was that bad that when Libya first fell, the Rothschilds opened up the central bank straight away.
Yeah, in Benghazi. Within 2 weeks, I think it was. Within 2 weeks, they'd set up a new central bank in Benghazi.
Yeah, it didn't last long.
That shows you what the whole operation was about. And this is the second part of these phone calls that they were talking about, the gold dinars that he had, because he was talking about setting up a United African Bank based on, I think, $150 billion worth of gold bullion that he had. And he was going to set up a bank so that they didn't have to borrow money anymore from the World Bank and the IMF. So from that moment on, he was a marked man. I don't like to raise up the other races, but for an African, you know, he was a good man, really. I really do think if you can't admire them to anything, any of them, then it would be Colonel Gaddafi.
Yeah, well, there's YouTube video people used to go and watch. It shows him driving around Tripoli in an open top car waving to everybody. He actually turned that desert. The money, when he took over the money the country had, he put back into the country, turned that desert, into irrigated land. Again, you know, if people wanted a car, you know, cars were cheap. Petrol was 10 cents a gallon. Everything was really cheap. And what, even healthcare didn't cost anything. And what they couldn't provide in Libya at that time, then they sent the students over to universities and paid for the students abroad. So, today now we're looking at this cesspit called Libya, and people over there who knew the situation must be absolutely gutted.
Well, it's like any government or any state that cares about its people and that actually wants to do something for its people and tries to base it on ethnicity as well, will be attacked. Gaddafi was a nationalist, and that's why he cared about his people. You've got in Syria, Bashar al-Assad, he's a nationalist. The party that is a nationalist party. All the kids are taught, you know, nationalist heroes, and they still have to go on their national service. So it's based on ethnicity, and they support the people. Even North Korea is 100% based on ethnicity, and they view themselves as being the most advanced Asian race, and they look down their noses on all the others. And all those marches that they do, it's all about praising the people, praising the country.
Probably got the healthiest population as well.
Oh, yeah, North Korea. As you imagine, they are pretty fit with all the exercises they do. But
it's just like watching National Socialist Germany, isn't it?
Yeah, Very, very similar. People will mock that. But if you look at the way animals behave in the wild, you get herds, and they're all moving along at the same
all of the stock survive.
Yeah. Same speed, moving at the same time. Flocks of bird all move along at the same speed, turn at the same time. Schools of fish all moving in the same direction, turning at the same time. And you've got the same thing going on there. Good that point. Is the natural behaviour of humans, is to get together and do things together like that on a mass scale. You imagine that buzz they must be feeling doing that, the energy. Of all together, it's the same as at the you know, the rallies, isn't it? Nuremberg rallies.
Well, it's on a great point, absolutely. Because when you watch these documentaries, wildlife documentaries, and you see all these buffalo in Africa, right, they're being hunted by these hyenas, right? And the hyena, you know, can't do anything while that pack's running together. But as soon as an old one or a young one starts to lag behind and breaks from that pack, then these communist hyenas jump on him. And that's exactly what they've done to Libya. That's exactly what they've done to Germany. And that's exactly what they'll do to any other country what stands up for their own culture and their own nationalism. Because that's what communism does. It wants to rule the world. And to do that, it's going to wipe out their enemies.
Yeah, as soon as they get separated from the people, as soon as they become an individual and they become individualised instead of being part of the group.
They have to give up his arms, you know.
That's it. You then become vulnerable. This is the whole point of this. Become an individual. Separate you from your national identity, which links you to everybody else. This is why they promote the race mixing, because then you've got no chance ever of identifying with your people ever again.
Bang on. You're bang on. And that's why National Socialism was based on nature as well. You know what I mean? Like, the only the strong survive. You know, the older looked after by the young. You know, in China, right, they had this thing about kids only having one child. But the problem with that, right, is that when these children grow up, the boys, look after the parents. So consequently, when you're only like one child and it's a girl, then, you know, they tended to be, you know, not really wanted, babies getting orphaned off or whatever, because they wanted a boy, because they knew when they got old that they would be looked after. How crazy is that? Social engineering at its worst.
Well, one of the side effects of that, actually, was that Chinese wanted to have more children they could pay. So the richer Chinese were able to have more children, and the richer Chinese were usually the more intelligent ones. So
how can you have richer Chinese in a communist country?
Yeah, well, exactly. So, again, that shows you what a mockery of communism being about the people. I was just listening to some early American nationalists, Father Coughlin and some others from around about that time. And what they were talking about was social programs and justice for the worker and for the people. And they were the ones that were genuinely trying to do what's best for the people. It's always been the nationalists, the patriots, the far right, whatever you want to call them, that have tried to do their best for their people, whether it's been economically, whether it's been protection from invasion, any of it. It's a natural position to have. We're not the extreme ones. The extreme ones are the ones that wish to replace us, get us to miscegenate, promote perversity. They are the extreme ones, not us.
That's why they can't drive around in an open top car. You'll never see Cameron going around and people coming out, flooding out to greet him as he drives around, you know, the country. Because when you've got a leader who believes in his people, believes in his culture, and the country is starting to feel the benefit of that leader, then the country comes out as he comes past in an open top car. Do you know what I mean? And wave like with Hitler or with Gaddafi, you know, but when when Cameron comes out in open top car, there's nobody there.
Well, Obama has a thing called the Beast, which is all armor-plated and you got all these army around him to protect him. They can't allow the people to get anywhere near them. As you say, Gaddafi, he would meet the people. Adolf Hitler, he would meet the people. Bashar al-Assad, he meets the people. Vladimir Putin. Yeah. He meets the people, but our so-called leaders, they have to be protected from the people because we're not their people. This is the thing. Yeah, we are not their people.
Up to the Zionists.
Well, yeah, they're all partial Jews, aren't they? Obama is a mulatto, so they're not. Yeah. He hasn't got any people. Cameron, he's partially Jewish, so we're not his people. That's what it, I think a lot of it comes down to is the ethnic allegiance of these people. Winston Churchill, his mother was partially Red Indian. So the British people weren't his people. But we're getting up near the end here, Dennis, and we don't really want to go over time. So we better just remind people of where they can find your work.
Well, you can find it on YouTube. I mean, a lot of comments calling me a racist. YouTube, Dennis Weiss channel, part 14, I'm going to put up tonight of Communism by the Back Door. Also got the website, communismbythebackdoor.tv, and Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, .tv.
And we'll be back next week on Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 7 p.m. British Time. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
Happy New Year.
Do you?